It's now my honor and privilege to introduce Harav Herschel Schechter, the Nathan and Vivian Fink Distinguished Professorial Chair in Talmud of Yeshiva University. I just started wondering, oh no, I didn't have a bio for him because I wanted to say something personal. I've had the schus being involved in Tchelis to meet many different Talmidei Chachamim and Gedolim, and I must say that Rav Schechter stands out in my mind. We don't want to get numbers, but way up there. And what is it that's so special? Not just that he's a tremendous Talmid Chacham, not that he seems to know everything whenever you ask him, not that no question is too difficult, not just his humility, but his love for Hashem and mitzvahs. And it's very obvious. I will never forget the first time we met with him. We discussed the tchelis, and we said, the Rav, would you wear a tchelis? He says, how do I get it? I want it right away. Give me more, He couldn't get enough mitzvahs. And that love and simplicity of seeing things straight without too much, lumdus, with all the brisk that Rosh Yeshiva has, it doesn't confuse a clear connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and its mitzvahs, a love for the Torah and mitzvahs. Without any further ado, the Rav will speak, and then we're going to leave a short time for questions. And the Rav has asked to apologize that he has another engagement in the evening. We'll have to leave right after the question and answer period.
Thank you very much. Some people choose not to wear tchelis and they feel that it's not their family minig. I don't know exactly what that means. What do you mean it's not their minig? It's a pasuk in the Torah that you have to wear tchelis. It's not a matter of minhagim. It's not a question of a heder mitzvah. It's a pasuk in the Chumash that you have to wear tchelis. The Beis Avevi, who is known as the father of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, those who wanted to make fun of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik used to call him the Brisker Rav's son. They didn't hold from Rav Chaim. His father was the Brisker Rav. Beis Halevi writes in his Tshuvas that there's an issue. How are we, for so many generations, people were wearing tzitzis without tchelis? So he develops in his Tshuvas, he develops the idea that if a person wears, let's say, tzitzis, only in three corners, missing the tzitzis in the fourth corner. Let's say a person has tefillin and he only has three parshias, missing the fourth parsha. He says, that's not baltigra. You're just not yotze the mitzvah tzitzis. You're mevatla mitzvah tzitzis, you're mevatla mitzvah of tefillin. If you're missing, Rashi and Chumash says not so, but the Beis Halevi quotes a Rashba like that. If you're missing something, if you're megariah something that's ma'akev, then it's not a violation of baltigra. You're just mevatla mitzvah. He says, the Mishnah gives an example of baltigra. If you have a korban chatos, you're supposed to do the zrikas on four corners of the mizbeach. And but if you only did one zrika, you're yotzei, and you had an opportunity to do all the four zrikas, and you only did one, you chose only to do one, that's a violation of baltigra. You're yotzei the mitzvah b'di'evet b'giron. You're yotzei b'giron. So he says if you wear tzitzis without tchelis, when tchelis is available, you're in violation of baltigra. So he asked the question, so how are we permitted to wear tzitzis for so many generations? We wear tzitzis for that tchelis. So it wasn't available, so what? But it was still in violation of Baltigra. So he says, everybody's walking around with an essay d'chaloy sesi. You want to wear tzitzis, and you don't have tchelis available. So since it's e'epsha l'kaim shneim, so then it's an essay d'chaloy sesi. But if you have tchelis available, and the person doesn't wear the tchelis, then you don't say essay d'chaloy sesi. Then the person is not only not in complete fulfillment of the mitzvah, that's a machlekes satanayim, whether tchelis and love and a ma'akfim zezeh. What if you only have love and what if you only have tchelis? So that's a machlekes satanayim. So the accepted psak is that the tchelis is not me'akevis and the lovin is not me'akev. Let's say make all the strings tchelis, make all the strings lovin. So we paskin b'di'eved, you would be yotzei the mitzvah shalo b'shleimusa. But because you're yotzei shalo b'shleimusa, if you have the opportunity to put in the tchelis and you don't, then it'll be a violation of Baltigra. So Volchang, best to give any, you shouldn't wear the Arba Kamfis. If you don't wear the abakafin, you're not over on anything. You're not mechuyev to wear an abakafin. If you wear a four-corner garment, you're mechuyev to put in tzitzis. If you don't wear a four-corner garment, you're not mechuyev to. So if a person wears a four-corner garment when trelis is available and he doesn't avail himself of the trelis, then he's mevatel here for the mitzvah, and he's over on Baal Tigris. Hashem, best not to wear the abakafin. It's not a matter of a hider mitzvah. It's a mitzvah b'shleimus, and it's not a matter of minhagim. What do you mean? The minhag for so many centuries was they didn't wear tchelis. Tchelis wasn't available. That's not called a minhag. It's a question whether this is authentic tchelis or not. Okay. So when Rav Baruch Sturman came to the yeshiva quite a few years ago, I don't remember how long ago it was, and he gave a presentation. He wanted to give me a presentation. I said, instead of giving me a presentation, we'll announce it and give the whole kollel a presentation. So he gave the presentation. So I said, even if one is not 100% convinced, but it's at least a suffix, so we have a klal suffix, deraisa l'chumra. Whenever you have a suffix with respect on mitzvah min ha-Torah, you have to go l'chumra. The Rambam's opinion, many of you may be familiar, the Rambam's opinion is that suffix deraisa l'chumra itself is only midirabbanan. But that itself is only a chumer midirabbanan. So the Shev Shmaitze and the Chavos Das both write that that's only with respect to Yisurim, but with respect to mitzvahs, even the Rambam would agree that Sofik deraisa, the chumer is midiraisa. So it's at least a Sofik. Hard to say. It's a vadai that it's not trelis. That's very difficult. Say that it's vadai not trelis. I don't know how people can be so convinced that it's vadai not trelis. The Pashto says it's at least a Sofik. And as a Sofik, we say Sofik deraisa l'chumra. There were those who argued that Sofik deraisa l'chumra only makes sense if the person is mesupik, let's say, whether he shook a lulav today, whether his esrig was a murkav or not. So we tell him, shake again, dalad minim, so you'll make sure that you are yotze the mitzvah. And the first day of Sukkot is a mitzvah min ha-Torah all over the world. So if a person is mesupik, he shook a lulav and asked mesupik, whether the esrig of the lulav was kosher, let him shake again, so he'll know for sure that he has fulfilled the mitzvah. What if you have a situation where there's a suffix, and even after you'll go the chumra, it'll still be a suffix whether you've accomplished anything. Like over here, let's say it's at least a suffix whether this is authentic trelis or not. So even if you wear it, when mesupik, maybe you didn't accomplish anything. So there were those who argued that suffix deraisa l'chumra doesn't apply in this situation. So it was a great goyin, who many of you must have heard of, Rav Menachem Zemba. He was one of the Polish goyinim adirim. He was a businessman. They had businessmen in Poland before the war, who knew all of Bavli, Yerushalmi, all the Arsamechs, all the Ragachavs. They knew everything. They knew everything there was to know. Unbelievable. So Menachem Zemba writes about this possibility. There are those who argue that Sofik deraisa l'chumra doesn't apply in a situation where even if you'll be machmer, you still be mesupik if you accomplished anything. So he shows it's an interesting idea. Some poskim say like that. But he says in Shulchan Aruch, the psak in Shulchan Aruch is not so. It says that on the first day of Sukkot, when lulav is deraisa, and a person didn't bench esrig all day long, and now it's bein hashmashes of sof hayom. So bein hashmashes is a sofik yom, sofik lailo. So we say sofik deraisa luchumer. You have to shake the lulav and the esrig now, even though it may be lailo. Maybe that after you shake the lulav, you've accomplished nothing, because the only fulfillment of the mitzvah bayom. Nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch paskens like that opinion, like the Ran, Beferish, that you do apply Sofik deraisa l'chumra. So the Pashto says that we should certainly, I think the Pashto says at least a Sofik, we should certainly try to be machmer, at least mitam Sofik, to wear the trelis. There are those who think that if it's not trelis, so you ruin the whole mitzvah. So this is beferish against the Gemara. The Gemara says, in the days of the Tanaim, they had people who were selling imitation trelis. The Gemara calls it kloilon. That's what the Oruch translates, kloilon as indigo. The indigo comes from a vegetable, and trelis has to come from some kind of a sea animal. So the Gemara says, if you fell in with trelis and you bought from a faker, and he sold you pasla trela. So the Gemara says, farfan. So lo yehei lo lovin. So you yotze the mitzvah of having lovin without trelas, even if it's not trelas. So you the same as everybody else is yotze lovin. So you yotze the mitzvah of lovin, even if the trelas is not authentic. You have everything to gain, nothing to lose. There is a question: how many strings of the tzitzis have to be dyed blue? Have to be dyed trelas? there is a machloikas b'shamayim b'shil. Usually when there's a dispute between b'shamayim b'shil, so ruba the ruba of the cases be paskin like the b'shil. Tosfos in the beginning of Sukkah quotes from the Seder of Amram Goen that there are six cases in the Gemara where we paskin like the b'shamayim. So one of them is over here. How many long strings do you put in into the hole in the corner of the tzitzit that it folds over to become how many more, twice as many? So we paskin like b'shamayim, you put in four long strings that fold over to become eight shorter strings. The seal was of the opinion you only have three and they fold over to make six. So we paskin like b'shamayim, you have four that fold over to become eight. So the Rambam's opinion is, yesterday in the parsha we read, so the Targum Onkelos translates the word psil, chuta de trelta, a string of trelta. So if the word psil means a string, so we understand there's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. What does that mean? So the Rambam says one of the eight shorter strings. The one string should be, half of the string should be dyed blue, the other half of the string should remain white. That's quite a trick, to have a string that's half blue and half white. So the Pashtus people would think you take a string and you take half of it and you dip it into a cup, into a vat full of dye, and you dye half of it. So I was told that that's not going to work, because once the string is already twined and you're going to dip it into the dye is only going to affect the outside. It's not going to dye the inside. The inside of the string is going to remain white, and that's not acceptable. So you have to dye the wool. So you have to make a string according to the Rambam. You have to stand on your head. You have to take raw wool, dye it blue, the correct color of the trellis, and then you have to use that wool to make a half a string. Then you have to use regular wool, which was not dyed blue, to make the other half of the string. So it's quite a stunt. So that's the Rambam's opinion. You have one string out of the eight that should be blue. The Ravid disagrees, but the Rambam, he thinks that the psil trellis means one long string of the eight. That's one long string of the four should be blue. Rashi and Tosfos, in reading the Gemara in Perek HaTcheles and Maseches Menaches, understand that you have to have two blue strings and two white strings. It's two and two. My thought was that I'm an Ashkenazi, and Ashkenazim usually follow Rashi and Tosfos. So I thought for Ashkenazim, for sure we should follow Rashi and Tosfos, we should have two and two. The question is, how do you deal with the Chumash? It says Psil Tcheles, and the Targum Onkelos translates Psil means Chut. So Rashi, in his commentary on Chumash, on a different pasuk, explains that that's not what the word psil means. You have the pasuk, Naftu lalikim neftalti yemachosi gam yacholti, when Rachel and Leah were giving birth to all of their babies. So Naftali was given a name based on Naftu lalikim. What does it mean, Naftu lalikim neftalti? Neftalti means to wrestle. So Rashi, in his commentary on Chumash, writes on the pasuk in Hazinu, Dori kesh uf saltol. So Rashi writes, Psaltol tzedreit belaz. We know what tzedreit. Tzedreit means wound up. And he quotes the pasuk Naftu lelekim, because when people wrestle, so they're all tzedreit with each other. And he quotes the pasuk Psil trelas. So Rashi in his commentary, Aruchon, translates not like the Targum Onkelos. Targum Onkelos translates Psil means achut. And Rashi says Psil trelas means the winding around should be done with the trelas. According to the Rambam's opinion, this is taka the case. We're going to get to it later. The Rambam holds you wind around a lot, so almost the whole 95% of the winding around is with the blue, and very little with the white. We'll get to that later. So the Rambam also perhaps understood that the word psil doesn't necessarily mean a string. But maybe he also understood psil means to wrap around. So it's not a kasha. How can Rashi and Tosfos say that you have two strings in every corner that are blue? The pasuk says psil. In the singular, the word psil trelis means the wrapping around, the psil around the gedil. Yeah. What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? I say, I thought that I'm an Ashkenazi, so I thought Ashkenazim usually follow the opinions of Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi and Tosfos are of the opinion it's two blue strings and two white strings. What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? So the only opinion that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch is Rashi and Tosfos, both in the Shulchan Aruch. In the Mechaber, written by Rabbi Yosef Kara HaSfardi, and in the Mishnah Berurah, which was written by an Ashkenazi as well. The Mechaber quotes the din of Gardume. There's a din in the Gemara that tzitzis have to have a certain length. 12 etzboros, let's say. 12 inches, let's say. So the din in the Gemara is that when you originally tie the strings onto the beged, it has to have that minimum length. But if later on, one or two of the strings tear, and it's not so long, so the tzitzis are still kosher, provided that on the string that ripped, you still have left the kedei aniva. You have a few inches left. So let's say on one side, we're usually careful when you tie the tzitzis to keep the two sides separate the whole time. Why do we do that? It's not really al pidin, it's not necessarily, that's an eitz teiva. So that, in case two strings will rip, and they'll both be on the same side, so you know that these are two different strings that tore, that are shorter than they're supposed to be, and you have kedei aniva left on the other end of the same two strings. If you're going to just tie the strings haphazardly, you're not going to know that all of the four strings on one side were there from the beginning. So if two strings rip all the way up to the bottom knots, it may turn out that one of the strings doesn't even have a kedei aniva. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes the Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that this kula that the Gemara has, that the gadumi tzitzis, if the tzitzis tear, and it had originally had the correct shear, and after a while the strings got a little torn, it's only acceptable, the tzitzis only remain kosher, provided that you still have two parts there. The Rabbeinu Tam says in Tesa, there are two parts to the mitzvah. Two strings are trelis and two strings are lovin. So you have to have one part should be complete. The trelis should be complete, and then if the lovin tore a little bit, it's okay, provided you have kedei aniva left. Or the lovin should be complete, provided that you have the trelis part should be complete. So in the days that they had trelis, the Rabbi and Thomas saying, days that they had trelis, let's say two strings tore, one white and one blue. So you hold tzitzis and don't go, even though you have kedei aniva left on the other end of the white or the other end of the blue, it's not acceptable. You have to have half of the tzitzis should be complete, one of the two units. Either the loven unit should be complete or the trelis unit should be complete. For so many years we didn't have white and blue, so we just had four strings. So we say, and that's taka two opinions in Tosfos. If you live in a generation where trelis is not available, so we pass on halacha that the trelis is not miyakev. You're in fulfillment of the mitzvah shelo bishleim musa if you have a love on without trelis. So what does it mean? All you need are two long strings folded over to make eight? Or you say, no, you have to have four strings folded over to make. Do you need two strings folded over to make four? Or do you need four long strings folded over to make eight? So our practice was for so many generations that we had four strings folded over to be eight. So when you have four lavan that folded over to be eight, so the Rabbeinu Tam said, that's quoting Shulchan Aruch, we consider the four strings as two different units. One is the lavan, and one is a representative of the trelis, even though we didn't have trelis for so many years. So as long as you had two full strings, were complete, any two of the four long strings, you say, you have half of it is kosher, half of it is pasul. But when you really have trelis, and you have, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, you have two long strings of blue and two long strings of white, and one blue and one white tour. So you don't have one unit shalom. You don't have a trelis shalom. You don't have a lavan shalom. So the whole tzitzis is no good. So that's the Shulchan Aruch paskens like that Rabbeinu Tam. So for so many years it wasn't relevant because we didn't have trelis. So it was relevant that you have to know that you have two strings, two of the long strings should be bishlei musam. But that's the only opinion that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that it's two and two. They don't quote the Rambam, they don't quote the Ravid. So one could say, okay, the Mechaber quoted this Rabbeinu Tam lahachmir. The simple reading of the Gemara implies that even if all the strings tore a little bit, it would be good if you have a kedei aniva left on the other end. So maybe the Shulchan Aruch only quoted Rabbeinu Tam lahachmir. But when you look in the Mishnah Berurah paskens lahakel, based on the Rabbeinu Tam, that it's two and two. Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Malbim. We're used to thinking of the Malbim as one of the commentaries on the Tanakh. He wrote a lot on Tanakh. But the beginning of his career was that he was a major Pesach in Psak Halacha. And he wrote a Chibur on Shulchan Aruch that's called Artzus HaChaim. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes it every other page in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. He quotes from the Malbim and Artzus HaChaim. So he quotes on Tzitzis the following. The Gemara says that if you have chutim that are from wool, you can use woolen chutim even on a beged that's cotton, even on a beged that's silk. If you have chutim, if you have strings that are from silk or strings from cotton, you can only use silk strings on a beged that's made from silk or cotton strings on a beged that's made from cotton. But if you have strings from wool or strings from linen, That can be, that's acceptable even on a beged that's made from cotton or a beged that's made from silk. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Atzeis HaChaim, what if you're going to have, let's say, I have a cotton beged. I want to have some strings cotton and some strings wool. Is that acceptable? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Malbim for the Atzeis HaChaim that they're two units. Each unit has to be one type of material. So you can have two long strings of wool and two long strings of cotton. That'll be acceptable. If you have three in one, it's not acceptable. So he's assuming halacha lemaisa lahakel, like the Rabbeinu Tam, not just lahachmer. One could argue the point and say the Mechaber quoted the Rabbeinu Tam shita with respect to the gardume, that if the strings tore and they're not bishlei musam, it's only acceptable if you have two full strings that are the right length. The other two tore a little bit. Maybe he quoted it just lahachmer, but not lahakel. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes, for the Malbim, it seems to be even lahakel. He says, you cannot have three and one. It has to be dafke, two and two. And two and two is acceptable, because that's the two different units. So that's why I personally follow the opinion of the... They quote from the Vilna Goyen, that the Vilna Goyen is of the opinion, either the Rambam or the Ravid, he doesn't know who's right, but he says, Rashi and Tesis for sure not right. Okay? So for those who always follow the Vilna Goyen, so you shouldn't do it like Rashi and Tosfos, but the Vilna Goyen a lot of times disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the Psak HaMakubal seems to be that it's two and two. So I just assume like the Shulchan Aruch. How many units do you have to have? So with so many generations, we have been making four units, like Joel mentioned before, I think, that you have, or the rabbi mentioned before, someone mentioned, that you have five knots. How come you have five double knots? Because you have, if you have four units, you have 7, 8, 11, 13. So if you have four units, then you have to have a knot at the beginning, not at the end of each one of the four units. So five knots means that you have four units. So not everybody agrees that it's supposed to be four units. Rashi and Chumash, and many Rishonim assume four units. Yeah. The Gemara says, the source of the whole story is the Gemara says that the Tchedes is supposed to be Domele Rakia, the color of the heaven, the sky. Rakia means the sky. The sky is not the same thing as the heaven, but still the Gemara says there are Shiva Rikim, there are seven heavens. When a person is very happy, they say he's in seventh heaven. By Chasana, he's saying the bench in Baruch HaLakena Shah Simcha Bima Ono, Ma'on, is one of the seventh heavens. It's not the seventh heaven. Seventh heaven, apparently, there's a little crying over there. The Gemara says, B'bot Gavoi, in the inner chambers, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam really cries. There is Bechia. But in the outer chambers, if you're not holding the seventh heaven, then there's more Simcha. So he says, Shah Simcha Mamono, it's not the seventh heaven over there. So the Gemara says that because there are seven heavens, in order to have seven heavens, you have to have six rikiyim, you have to have six avirim. If you have no avir in between the first and the second and the third, then it's all one big heaven. So in order to have seven heavens, the Gemara says you have to have six avirim in between. So six and seven, high mathematics, is 13. So the Gemara says when you wind around, you should have a minimum of seven when you have tcheles. When you don't have tcheles, it says the whole thing is irrelevant. But if you have tcheles, and tcheles is supposed to remind you of the sky and of the heaven, the sky and of the heaven, the shamayim in Hebrew sometimes means sky and sometimes means heaven, they're two different things. When they first landed on the moon, so there was a rabbi... Scheinberger, I think his name is, from the Eidah Haredes, who used to come to America to raise money all the time for the Aniyim. So they say that when he came to Rav Soloveitchik and he asked him for money, Rav Soloveitchik said, what do you mean? I'm going to give you a donation. You're going to use my money to hang up placards attacking me? So he said with a straight face, no, that's from a different fund. this money really goes to Aniyim. So Rav Soloveitchik gave him a big donation. So he went and he gave him permission to show the people in Boston the check that he gave. So he went to different people. He couldn't believe it. What do you mean, Rav Soloveitchik? He gave this guy from the Eidah Haredes. So he called him up. He said, yeah. He said, this really goes to the Anim. So every year he used to come to Rav Soloveitchik, and they had a relationship. It was interesting. So when they first landed on the moon, so this Rabbi Scheinberger told Rabbi Soloveitchik that the people in Meir Shammah are very disturbed. How is that possible? There were people who denied it. It can't be. The Pasuk says, HaShamayim, Shamayim, HaShamayim, HaRetz, Nasim, Levnei Adam. It's impossible for a human being to be on the moon. only supposed to be on the earth. So Rav Soloveitchik told him that the Ramban in the beginning of Bereshit says, Bereshit Bo'elokim es ha-shamayim es ha-oretz, and then the Chumash continues to talk about the creation. So Shamayim means the Ruchnias, the heaven. It doesn't mean the sky. Oretz includes the sun, the moon, the stars, everything is Oretz. And Shamayim means the Olam HaRuchni, a different thing. When it says HaShamayim, Shamayim, HaShem, Oretz, Nasan, Levanei Adam, Oretz refers to the sun, the moon, the sky, that's all part of Oretz. So he was so appreciative, he said he's going to call them up right away. Meir Shorim is going to tell them they should calm down. Rav Soloveitchik gave the Teretz. Yeah. So the word Shamayim in Biblical Hebrew sometimes means the sky, and sometimes means the heaven. So the Gemara, we say in English, there are seven heavens. Okay. Whatever that means. So the Gemara says again, there are seven heavens. In order to have seven heavens, you have to have six Avirim separating in between. Otherwise, it's going to be one big heaven. And if six and seven together adds up to 13. So the Gemara says, since the Tchelus, when you have Tchelus, supposed to be Keneged, supposed to be reminding you of the Tchelus Dama L'Rakia, you should have a minimum of seven and a maximum of 13. So Tosis has two opinions what that means, and it's a Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, the same issue. Does it mean you should have, instead of having like we have for so many generations, four units, 7, 8, 11, 13, you should have seven units. Seven units. And how many wrap around, how many times do you wind around each time? So the Gemara says minimum of three times. A minimum of three times. So should you have seven units each time wrapping around three times? Or should we say no? That seven means a minimum of seven kriches within each chulya. How many chulyas do you need? So Rashi says four. Five ksharim, four chulyas. So in order to satisfy the both opinions, so for so many generations, it didn't make so much of a difference because we didn't have trelis available anyway, so the mainaf gemina. But if you really have trelis, so to satisfy the both opinions, so more correct would be that you should make seven units, and each unit should have eight double knots. Seven units, that uses up an awful lot of string. You have to have very long strings for that. Seven units, and each unit should have seven krichas around it. So it's going to be 49 krichas, the whole thing. So originally, many years ago when the organization first started, so the strings were not really long enough to do seven units and eight double knots. You use up an awful lot of string. So at that time, I only made the first unit was seven krichas, and then after that I just made three krichas. But now they're kind enough for those who want to do this, follow this opinion, to have seven units of seven krichas, an awful lot of strings, so they make longer strings. So everything is longer. So now there's no need to make all the rest of them three. You can make seven times seven. You can have 49 krichas. So that's what I do now. Exactly how do you wrap around? What do you wrap around? Do you wind around the blue? Do you wind around the white? So the Gemara says, L'chatchila, you should start with white and end off with white. You start with white, switch to blue, and end off with white. And b'di'eved, that's not mi'akev. Even if you started with the blue, that's not mi'akev. What does that mean? You start with the white, and then you switch to the blue, then you end off with the white. So the Rambam's opinion is, the very first kricha, the very last kricha should be white, and everything else should be blue. So let's say I have 7 times 7, so the first kricha I used to do, I'll explain what I changed. So the first kricha I do a white, and then from the 49 krichas, 47 I do blue, and then the very first kricha, the very last kricha I do white, and all the 47 in between, 7 times 7 is 49. So all the 47 krichas in between I do blue. So after doing this for quite a few years, one summer in the NCSY learning program, I go in the summertime to learn with high school students in Eretz Yisrael. It's a beautiful program. And usually they come to visit the factory. They want to learn what trellis is all about. Then they show them how to tie the trellis. So one of the boys was arguing with me, one of the high school students was arguing with me, why do I only wrap around once? But according to Tosfos, you have to wind around. There's an inyan of wrapping around the lavan also. You have to wrap around three times. You only wrap around one time, that's not called a kricha. Gemara says you have to have a minimum of three krichas. So I thought he had a very good point. So I changed my practice. Instead of doing one, and then 47, and then one blue at the end, I do three white in the beginning, then I do four blue, and I tie a double knot, then I do
Seven blue, seven blue, seven blue, seven blue. I have five in the middle that are all blue. Then the bottom, the last, Julia, I'll do four blue and three white. So when I'm doing white, instead of doing like the Rambam, one kriach in the beginning, one kriach in the end, and 47 blue in the middle, I'll do three kriachas of white. When I do white, I'll do three kriachas. When I do the white at the bottom, I'll do three kriachas. But again, this is not me akibidiyev. This is the Rambam's opinion. The Ravid has a different opinion. Each one is quoting different ge'onim. And Tosfos quotes different opinions. So it's impossible to satisfy all the opinions. But this issue is not miyakibidiyev. So I took the lazy man's, I took the easiest way. I took the easiest way out. I thought the Rambam is the easiest way. There's no way to satisfy all the opinions. And the question is whether the Goinim had the Tchelis or they didn't have a Tchelis. But in the Goinim, the Goinic literature, there are different opinions. So there's no way to satisfy all. So I just followed the Rambam's opinion. Let me just close with this. The Morgan Avraham is the standard commentary on the side of the Big Shulchan Aruch, often quotes from the Beis Yosef, here in Hilchos Tzitzis. He quotes the Beis Yosef, he quotes from the Sefer Ho'itur, who interprets a Gemara like this, that when you have some of the strings are blue, some of the strings are white, so a Hider Mitzvah, which is again, I mean, a Hider Mitzvah would be that in the end, you should have all the blue on one side, all the white on the other side. So when I'm tying the Tzitzis, there's no need to keep it like that. You don't have to keep your finger. See, when we used to have only white, so they had to keep your pinky separating the two, the four on the one side, four on the other side, so in case the strings will rip, so you know, if two strings will rip, you know whether it's from the same string or from a different string. Now it's irrelevant. If you have trelis, and two are trelis, two are lovin', so you see which two are trelis, which two are lovin'. So there's no need to keep it separated the whole time. When you see at the end, you got to see what's blue and what's white. So the Baluita learns Pshat in the Gemara that there's a Hidur Mitzvah that at the end, after everything is all over, you should have all the blue on one side and all the white on the other side. So that's not so difficult to do, even if a person didn't do it originally. It's easy, just untie the last knot and you just separate it and you tie it again. Some of the people who started, I thought that was going to be the last point. Let me add another last point. Some of the people who started using treles, who were Ashkenazim all their lives, all of a sudden became Sfardim, they made the Kesher differently. I don't see why there's any need to change the Kesher. According to the Ashkenazi tradition, we make double knots. So for many centuries, we had four units and we had five double knots. Now if you're going to have seven units, you're going to make eight double knots. You're going to use up an awful lot of strength. But you should make double knots like we always did. I don't see why people are switching to, you want to convert to become a Svardi Gesundheit? Okay. So you can follow all the Minhagim, all the Shitas and all the Minhagim of the Svardi. But if a person remains an Ashkenazi, why should he switch to do the Svardi Kesher? I thought that we should continue to do the double knots. I'm sure there's a lot more to discuss. I just got a copy of the Sefer that has a collection of all of the Divrei Torah that were published for 9 years. And much of what I spoke about is discussed there. I didn't have a chance to look at the Sefer yet. I may have to revise a lot of what I'm doing after I read the Sefer, but this is the way I practice it right now. Okay, thank you very much. Maybe we'll open the floor for questions, discussion.
Yeah, if you'd like to take questions. First of all, I give the rabbi a second. So thank you very much, Shechter, for your wonderful words and getting right to the point. If we have questions, I just wanted to say I was sure that the Rav was going to mention that they couldn't make it to the moon because of all the plaques they had to put on. That wasn't a standard joke, no, but it didn't happen. Anyway, so you had a question, please.
Yes, when you say that the appropriate thing is to redo the last knot, is that the entire knot, both half knots, or can you just redo the second half knot?
If the Rav could speak into the speaker.
I think one can do that just the second. That will also be good. I don't think it's necessary to do both. Yeah. I will come at this.
Whether it's a granny or a square.
What does that mean?
A granny is a left over right over left. And I'm sorry, that's a square knot. A granny is where it is the opposite. Right over right.
I'm not familiar. All I know is when I tie the tzitzis, so always, when you tie, it's always one side is going to be shorter than the other. So when you come to the next knot, you tie fakert. So they'll even out. By the time it comes to the end, everything evens out.
No, no. But I'm talking about the square knot. The strings are going to hang out further apart. The granny, they're going to hang out closer.
I think either way is good. Doesn't make a difference. But if you're always going to do one way, you're always going to hold straight, and you're always going to tie this way, then that those four strings are going to be shorter than the others. So you have to keep on alternating, so that at the end, all the eight strings will have the same length. I think so.
Square knot doesn't come apart.
You have to do whatever is best.
We'd like to allow for some other questions. Okay. I unfortunately didn't see. Okay, we'll go. Please. And just as we say in Israel, katzar v'le'inyan, please, a quick question, a quick answer, because we'd like to get everybody an opportunity to ask if they can. If they can't, I can say that Rav Schechter, I'm sure, will be happy to get back to you in one way or another. You can send him an email or contact us, and we'll try to get through to him. Thank you.
Good? Okay. There is a chil? Okay. We should do more research. Okay. I agree.
Okay, yeah.
But under the circumstance, we should do the best we can now and proceed to do more research.
I hope that the Rav will be in Eretz Yisrael on Sukkos together with everyone else here in the crowd. We are always there available, and our factory is open on Chol HaMoed, and even though it's malacha, it's work, the tying of the mitzvah is doche, and we have a psak from our Rav that we can tie on Sukkos if need be. Yes, yes, please.
I don't know. Could be. I'm not familiar.
Okay. I could just say as far as I know, Rav Feinstein was not alive during research. I can say that his son-in-law, Rav Tendler, does wear a treles, as well as many of his other family members. Yes, in the back.
I think it's a suffix the Raisa Lechumra on everything, yeah.
But I see so many people that have Talmud Gadol, but they don't wear the Talmud Kotten.
Uh-huh. I don't think that's proper. They mevatel half of the mitzvah on the Talmud Kotten. Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, Zachar Levracha, corresponded with the Radzina Rebbe when the Radzina Rebbe at the end of the 1800s came up with his Tcheles, which Rav Herzog later on published that it was a total misunderstanding. So different Rabbanim corresponded with the Radzina Rebbe. So he published three different Svarim on Tcheles. Now they're available in one volume, Shlosh Sefer Tcheles on one. In the third Sefer, he has correspondence from other Rabbanim. So Yitzchak Elchanan writes, I agree with you. I really ought to wear the Tcheles, but I'm busy fighting the Maskilim. And he says, if I'm going to wear tzitzis on my beged, I'll be abgefrecht. They're going to laugh at me that I'm a Meshuganess. I think he writes, he's only going to wear tzitzit on his Talis Gadon, where no one's going to see. He's not going to wear on the Talis Gadon. So I always thought, how can you do that? If you think that the Radzina Rebbe, if you think that they found Tcheles, so what kind of politics is this? You're busy fighting the Maskilim. So they told me that Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan said on another occasion, he felt that his battle against the Maskilim was so important, he felt he's allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to fight against the Maskil. He's allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, allowed to ignore the wearing of Tcheles also. But I don't know, I'm not fighting any Maskil. People want to laugh at me, they'll laugh at me, so they won't listen to me. So I think one is obligated to wear, if you think it's at least a Sofek, how can one be so convinced that it's not even a Sofek? If it's at least a Sofek, so you're obligated to put on the Tcheles, on the both, on the Talis Kotel, on the Talis Kotel, on both.
Okay, we'll take two more questions. Over there.
The news were hacking me at breakfast about the payload, and I didn't come in today, but I guess I'm representing. The question is, if it's the topic of Kumra, the topic is, you know, the Kumra, it only works out if you're sure you covered that Kumra.
Right, so I mentioned that there was such a suggestion. Menachem Zemba, who was killed by the Nazis in Warsaw Ghetto, he explained that this is against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that the Yisai Safik Deraisa L'chumra, even if after going L'chumra, you still won't be convinced. You'll still be Mesupik whether you did the mitzvah. If there's a chance that this is what you're supposed to do, then he says the Shulchan Aruch Paskin Safik L'chumra on that. Tosfos says that it's not the blood, it's from the gland. That's what they use, from the gland. Right, the Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos says like that.
Well, last question, Rabbi Marwick had a question, and then we'll sum up this.
Chapter deal with what the Soloveitchik says in the name of Beit HaLevi, that we require Masorah for Shteva.
Yeah, Rav Soloveitchik and the family in Eretz Yisrael also, the Briska Rav's children, they have a tradition that the Beis HaLevi's reaction to the Razina Rebbe's discovery of the Tchelis was that he says, even if you're right, even if you're really right, klap yishma'i galya, you're really right, but you have to have a masorah, that this is the chalozen, and since we lost the masorah, so there's no way you can reconstruct this. And Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say, shurim in yeshiva, we never dared to ask anything. We used to tzitta during the shir. When he said the shir for the balabatim, so the balabatim, and sometimes asking kashas in the middle, so the balabatim asking so many kashas against this, and the terutzim are so shvach. It's really bedoichik. So there's a big Talmud Chacham who used to live in Flatbush, Feivel Cohen, Rabbi Feivel Cohen. He wrote the Badei HaShulchan Svarim, very outstanding. So he took off a year. He was a rabbi in a shul. And he took off a year. He told about them he's retiring from his rabbanim, so he wants to go learn by Rav Eliyashiv and Aritzah to get Shimush. He's retiring. He's leaving the rabbanim. So the balabatim asked him, don't give up the rabbanim. We'll keep the rabbanim for you. Come back after the year. So what happened was he took a year off from his rabbanim. He went to Aritzah. And he got the Shimush in Psak Halacha by Rabbi Yashiv. So he posed the question to Rabbi Yashiv. There are two different versions of what the Beis HaLevi's response was to the Radzina Rebbe's Trelis. So the Soloveitchik family in America and in Eretz Yisrael, their version is that the Beis HaLevi said, even if you're right, it doesn't mean anything because you have to have a Masorah. In the Sefer that the Radzina Rebbe printed, he has a letter from an acquaintance of the Beis HaLevi. He doesn't have a letter from the Beis HaLevi. He has a letter from a close friend of the Beis HaLevi. He doesn't identify who it is, who tells what the taina of the Beis HaLevi was. So he says, our grandparents knew about the squid fish. The Radzina Rebbe thought that it's the squid fish is the chalas. So he said, our grandparents knew the squid fish spits off this dye, and they didn't use the trelis that you are saying. So we have a masorah that you're wrong. Not that we don't have a masorah. We have a masorah that you're wrong. And if you come up with a new chalazan instead of the squidfish, I'll be the first one to go along with it. If you come up with a new one, and you'll explain why historically, why did it disappear in the days of the Gaonim. So that's a totally different version of what the Beis HaLevi said. So Feivel Cohen asked Rabbi Yashiv, which of the two versions does he think makes sense? So he said he also... Why do you have to have a masorah? He didn't understand, why do you have to have a masorah? If you can prove either through archaeology or whatever, or through dictionaries, if they say that the word chalozen in all the different languages means this sea animal, so then that should be a sufficient proof that this is the chalozen. So then the Feivel Cohen asked Rabbi Yashiv, so what do you say about the new trelis? They figured out that this is the chalozen, and they gave a whole historical explanation as to why it disappeared. So he said he has to think about it. He has to think about it. And then maybe some of the other speakers will talk about what was Rabbi Yashiv's opinion about the new trelis. He did not at all discourage people from wearing the trelis. Some of the people, he encouraged them to wear the trelis. Apparently he was not opposed. I'll leave that to the other speakers. Okay.
I want to thank again Rav Schechter. Thank you very much for coming, and it was
thank
a great kavod to have you and to be with you. I
feel bad that I can't stay to listen to the other presentations. I don't mean to be insulting to them. I'm going to try to listen online. I hope you're going to put everything online.
Put it on, yes.
Okay, but we have a family simcha, so that's why I wanted to.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, I just would like to end with, I've heard many chidushim here this morning, even though I've discussed chelet with Rav Schechter many times. The idea of a simcha ba'mo'ano is only at this level, and that in the highest level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that means, there's crying, I hope, as Rabbi Marowick said, we're in the ikvah de Mashiach, and the crying will be tears of joy.